Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
Today we dive into a very thoughtful and quite unusual book about financial planning. Tan Wee Boon writes the weekly personal finance columns in our sister publication, The Straits Times. He is the Invest editor. You might recognize his name from his bylines. And he has a brand new book out, just under 300 pages, launched a couple of weeks back, and is filled with practical advice seen through his lens of financial planning. The book's title says it all. It is titled, Always Have Enough Money. Tan Wee Boon, welcome to the show.
Hi, Michelle. How are you? Hi. Good morning, everyone.
Great to speak with you, Wee Boon. All right, Wee Boon, we're all about investing. We're all about solid money tips here on this show. So I have to start with a bit of a toughie. With inflation and interest rates on the rise, Wee Boon, many investors are looking for stocks that will pay solid dividends. Will this book help them find it?
Well, unfortunately, Michelle, that's not the purpose of the book. Truly, if I can teach you how to be rich, I wouldn't need to write a book. I should be just living in some paradise island and enjoying my wealth. The reality is nobody knows how to teach you to be rich. But having said that, I think I know the secrets on how to keep you from being poor. That means losing all your investment, losing all your money. Because the key to having enough money is to avoid being poor, because when you succeed in doing that, you will always have enough money.
Interesting take. Is this a hopeful book, or is this a book that's going to scare us into not overspending?
Overspending is a bad thing. So if I manage to scare you on that, that's good. But that said, this book is full of practical tips on how you can always retain some money in your bank account. When I say some money, it is relative. That means that if you are a high income earner, that some money could be a few million dollars. But then again, we should be inclusive in financial planning, in that even though you're a middle income earner, you can still live a very comfortable life. Many people don't realize that the key to having enough money is not about investing, about earning, because that's just one aspect of it. Mm-hmm. The key is also to watch your spending. Like you just mentioned just now, overspending. Because many people, if they can spend within their means, they will then be able to control how much they have and how much they need.
Now, I need to ask you about the title, Wee Boon. What does the enough in your book's title really point towards? As you say, isn't, you know, money and enough money subjective? Most of us can't ever have enough.
That's a good question, Michelle. As I mentioned earlier on, it all depends on a person's needs and lifestyle. You know something, even though you may have $100 million in your bank account today, if you go on and spend a lavish lifestyle, be really aggressive in your investment, don't really take care, you will also one day end up being poor as well. I'm sure you have read in the papers recently of how some tycoons have fallen out of grace simply because they're over-leveraged. And sometimes I have seen so many cases when you see somebody living the high life, living in a big house, driving a big car, sometimes you should take a pause and wonder, are those really funded by cash or by loan? It is by loan, then I don't consider the person as being wealthy, because all debt needs to be paid. And eventually, when sometimes when you fail to keep up with the expense, the payment of the debt, you will end up being in quite a difficult position. So in this case, enough is relative, because what if good life doesn't really mean that it must be like full of money and you have everything to spend? Because even if you look at some of the richest men in the world, they will tell you that those who are happy need not have everything. They just make the best of everything that they have. So this is the message that I want to bring to you. But that said, there are parts in the book, especially in chapter 4, which I will focus on how or even ordinary worker can have stand a chance of becoming a millionaire.
Does that involve using the CPF?
Yes, that is right, Michelle, because a lot of people dismiss CPF as, to put it bluntly, a scam by the government to lock up your money. But you must remember, why does will somebody need to keep the money aside for a long time? You see, a lot of people complain about CPF on this fact, but they forgot about the purpose of financial products, because many financial products need long periods of time in order to grow your money. Nobody ever complains about insurance, because you are supposed to buy a life policy, say, when you're younger, and then you keep paying the policy for the rest of your life, and to some extent, you may not even get to enjoy it because the policy comes in only on your death. That means your beneficiary gets the money, but not you. But nobody complained about insurance being a scam for locking up your money for the rest of your life. But they do so for CPF without understanding what its true purpose is all about.
You always want compound interest to work in your favor. And in fact, even with CPF, you talk about not using your CPF for your mortgage for that reason, right?
Yep. That's correct, because recently there was a report released on people who have sold their homes and then they have to refund the money back to CPF, and they realized that the sales proceeds was not even enough to refund the home loan. And that shows that actually the property prices did not appreciate higher than the 2.5% interest rate, or rather the interest accrued that you should have accumulated in your account.
Right. So pay off your home loan, pay off your CPF home loan as well in lump sums and as soon as you can, you say. Boon, you're a lawyer by training. You're a noted journalist. My sense is that your book really stresses the importance of critical thinking. Is that the backbone of this book?
You are absolutely right, Michelle. Thanks for reading it in so such detail. Because sometimes people ask me, when you write a book like this, does it only appeal to people who do not have money? Actually, not true. Even if you have lots of money, you will realize that ultimately you know what are your rights should be. Because just a quick jump into it. The most important assets in many families are properties. And properties can be held in different manners. A lot of people sometimes overlook this simple fact. For example, if you have a joint owner for that property, many people do not realize that joint ownership cannot be distributed via a will. That means that if you own a property via joint ownership and you put in your will that you want this property to go to somebody else, it doesn't go that way, because there is this thing called the rule of survivorship. Because when one joint owner dies, the other automatically inherits it. So that is how joint ownership operates. And of course, the person can prove that this house actually belongs to me because I pay for it and I funded it 100%, the other joint owner was there only in name. You must remember that this act of proving had to be done in court, which means that you have to expend thousands of dollars engaging a lawyer to fight out the case, which, in my view, is not good family planning. So what happens is that you must understand things like little things like this, because you have lots of money, yes, but you still must know the way to protect it.
And that's why I've devoted a whole chapter, chapter 9, to always know your rights. The book that we're reading today is Always Have Enough Money. Tan Wee Boon joins me. He's the author of the book. Wee Boon, what are the pillars of financial planning? Take us back to your own sort of thinking through for the outline and the blueprint of this book. What were the key pillars that you wanted to cover in this book?
Well, actually, it's more on day-to-day life. For instance, I think the key pillar of anything when it comes to money is first understanding what you need, because that is the fact that what I say, the million-dollar question that will determine how much you need, how much you need to invest, how much you need to save, because it all boils down to how much you're going to need every month. Even that simple question, like for instance, how much do you need to spend every month, is not a question that can be simply answered in a few seconds or so, because if you do that, chances are you have neglected to count many, many things that you actually expend every month. For instance, many people don't keep receipts of their spending. They don't keep account of the allowances that they give to their parents or to their kids. They conveniently forgot all the loans that is deducted from the bank accounts via GIRO, similarly for taxes. So if you really want to find out how much you need to do a tabulation of all your expenses, and that includes, number one, expenses that cannot be avoided, like your taxes, your loans, and the fees. Second part is your daily spending, groceries and things like that, and even dining out. And all this, the only way to verify how much you need is to really keep the receipts. And the third point is things that you often do without thinking much about it, the allowances. When you add up all together, you will, most of the time, you'll be shocked that you need so much money just to live the month to month. And for instance, just to give you an idea how what this translates into in long-term planning, assuming that you need just $3,000 a month, I mean, considering that, let's say, by the time you are 60, all the home loans are paid and you are no longer working, so there's no taxes to consider, $3,000 a month times 12 and times 20 for the rest of the year, and that roughly works out to be $720,000 just for 20 years. So you need $720,000 cash for the next 20 years. So the next question is, do you have access to this amount of cash? And that's just basic spending, you know. If you need to go for holidays, assuming you add in another $10,000, that straight away translates into almost close to $1 million in cash that you will need just to last for 20 years.
Wow.
It sounds scary, but then this is reality. This is reality. So you must confront what you really need and therefore need to work towards having enough money to cover those expenses. And this is what the spirit of the book is about. I mean, I've come to a stage in life where I'm sharing tips, really addressing the elephant in the room.
Mm.
I ask questions that people tend to avoid. You know, like for instance, people will always tell you, invest to keep the inflation, to stave off the inflation, you need to invest.
Mm-hmm.
I said, no, it's not about, somebody asked me that question recently.
Mm.
How much do I need to invest because inflation is going up? I said, no, you don't invest to worry about the inflation. You need to do a lot more than that because all of us want to aim for a comfortable life. We are not talking about having to worry when, let's say, the price of rice increased from, let's say, $10 to $12. But we need to plan for holidays. We need to plan for a good life because we don't just look at inflation. We need to have really access. So when, if you understand this part, if you have a lot more money than your original plan to have, then life shouldn't be a problem at all. I would say that, you know, just take a look at the strategy that Singapore has. As a country, I think Singapore has been saving lots of money, and that's why we have built a decent reserve. Notice that how every time when a country and the citizen goes into a bit of trouble, the government will come out and say, here's $1.5 billion in aid to help everyone. It's the same principle with the family. Can you imagine that you only have access for 2-3%, and every time somebody falls into trouble, you won't be able to help? So the purpose of financial planning is not just worrying about inflation, but worrying about whether you can have a good life and a good retirement. That should be the aim, not so much of inflation. Inflation will happen just like old age and everything. This is all part of life. You should plan enough. That's why I say the question of enough. To answer that question, you need to check what you need. And that's the key to everything. I mean, if you need 100,000 every month, then you jolly well make sure you have hundreds of millions in the bank account to be able to afford that kind of a lifestyle. So it works both ways as well.
Well said, Boon. Well said. You also talk about cash protection for the future. I think when it comes to financial planning, to be honest, a lot of people get lost in the minutia, the fine print when it comes to insurance, particularly medical insurance. Now, is this book localized to help us understand how to navigate choosing medical insurance here in Singapore?
Yes, you're right, Michelle, because after all, I think the primary audience that I have in mind are my fellows in Singaporeans and residents in Singapore. We are, in a way, lucky that we have quite a well-conceived medical insurance plan. It's called the Integrated Shield Plan, which practically covers most medical expenses. And by most, I mean even treatment at private hospitals. That is something that is pretty rare in the sense that if you fall sick, all you need to do just to pay the co-payment sum, and most of the things are really taken care of, and you can even use your MediSave to cover that co-payment sum. The key then is how to plan enough to keep the insurance policy going. The scary part that many people sometimes ignore, and even professionals, you know, who are very savvy, they sometimes forgot that medical costs is rising continuously, and so is insurance policy.
Mm-hmm.
The scary thing about our medical plan is that as you become older, you need more money to make sure that you can keep up with the premium. How much more is needed? If you say you are now 80 years old, you have a comprehensive plan, the amount needed is $20,000 a year, up to $20,000 a year. That said, if you cannot pay the $20,000 a year, it doesn't mean that's the end of the world. No, there are ways for you to step down from that policy. For instance, you can talk to the insurer that now, fine, I'm having a bit of cash flow, I cannot keep up with this plan. What you can do is actually to downgrade the policy from, say, from private hospitals to public hospitals. But that doesn't mean that you are actually worse off in a way, because some of the best doctors in Singapore are actually in the public hospital. So you are actually getting really good health care. So it's a question of choice. I mean, you may not get more comfortable room as compared to public hospitals, but that said, it is at least you have a choice to manage your expenses, even for health care.
What has been your most important money lesson personally, Boon?
Well, I follow what Singapore is doing, and that is to build my personal reserve. And by that, I mean CPF. A lot of people have a mistaken idea that CPF is something that's meant to lock up your money. I don't mind my money being locked up, especially if it pays good interest of 2.5 to 4% every year without fail, rain and or shine. That is the way to do it. Because at the end of the day, the thing is, there's only so much money that you can put in the CPF because there's a cap on everything. You cannot put in more than $37,740 in your CPF annually. So everyone is capped with that amount. But if you can do that and you build up a substantial amount in your CPF, actually, you can actually achieve up to $1 million or even more in your CPF. And when you succeed in doing that, you stand to receive annual interest income of at least $30,000, if not more. One day, a reader wrote to me, he's 60 years old, and he showed me his account. He has $1.75 million in his CPF account. And to me, if you have this kind of national, so-called your personal reserve, I think you can weather through many storms without losing sleep, because the money there is actually safe. You don't have to worry about economic crisis. You can sleep easy every day. And then you can withdraw bit by bit after 55, so long as you have saved enough for the retirement account. And it, like I said, it's your personal reserve. Excess money, yes, by all means, go and invest and find the best portfolio that you want. You may even go for a second property. But I would advise everybody to not give up on having a personal reserve, because this reserve is intact. And even if you run into financial problems, for those who do business, your creditors cannot even take money from you from the CPF account. This money is protected even from bankruptcy suits. I mean, to put it ironically, would be a bankrupt can still live like a millionaire if the person has adequate money in the CPF. That's the beautiful part about this so-called personal reserve that is available to all Singaporeans and citizens free of charge.
It's an amazing book, really wide-ranging. I mean, it sounds like we've covered a lot on CPF here, but Wee Boon talks about real estate. He talks about getting ahead at the workplace even, thinking about different streams of income. So really wide-ranging. Congratulations on your new book, Wee Boon, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Michelle, for having me.
The book, again, is titled Always Have Enough Money. Tan Wee Boon is the author. This is Money and Me. I'm Michelle Martin. Thank you so much for your company.
Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3. Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.